So, you know, we're living in such a distracted world. And I've talked about this many times where, you know, we have all this stuff that distracts us from getting closer to God. We really do. We got Facebook. I mean, come on. I mean, that we got, and even not just Facebook, social media in general, we spend a lot of time on it. Amen? We do. And we got voices of politics in the news. We got crazy stuff on the news. We got crazy stuff in our culture going on. We have all these distractions. We got voices of fear. We got voices of opinion. And we got voices from our own hearts and opinions. And sometimes we're sitting trying to figure all this stuff out. And in the middle of all that noise, I think one of the biggest questions that rises is what voice will shape your life? Are we going to let politics guide our lives? Are we going to let social media guide our lives? Are we going to let other people's opinion guide our lives? Or are we going to let the voice of God guide our life? And so through all that noise and distraction and babies crying and all that kind of stuff, right? It's normal, right? There's nothing wrong with that, right? There's nothing wrong with a lot of things that we do, but sometimes it gets us so distracted that we don't hear the voice of God speaking to us. And I think through all this, if we're going to be faithful to Jesus in this world today, we got to become a people who are not merely... We don't just merely own Bibles. We don't just have a whole... And I can tell you, I started to bring, I almost did it, a wheelbarrow full of Bibles that I have at home. Different ones, different translations. I've got a stack of Bibles. But I have a favorite. You guys have a favorite Bible? I just always go to that, my favorite, right? But if we're going to be a people, we're going to have to get less distracted, and we can't just be admirers of what the Bible might say and read it occasionally and maybe quote something occasionally. We have to be, we have to just really get involved in reading the Word. We got to become a people who study the Word of God, who love the Word of God, who submit to the Word of God, and are transformed by the Word of God. Amen? Because I think many Christians today, they know a lot of content. There's a lot of head knowledge people. We got more at our fingertips than any other generation in this ever. I mean, you can get on Google and you can literally ask it any question and it will give you at least the direction of where the Scriptures are and all about what Jesus said about whatever question you can ask. Now we can weed through what is real or what is maybe a little bit out of context or whatever, but for the most part, we have a tremendous amount of information right at our fingertips. But I find a strange thing within people who are churchgoers. And I don't mean this disrespectfully, but this is what I find. I find biblically illiterate people. I'm one of them. I was one of them, I'll put it that way. Because I went to church for many, 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 many years, and I heard sermons, and that was good enough for me. I didn't read my Bible through the week. I didn't study the Word of God. I just counted on what the pastor said, and sometimes that was just good enough. But he calls us as disciples to a deeper walk, and if we want to know who God is, we've got to read the Word. If you want to know who God is, if you want to get closer to Jesus, then you got to get in your Bibles and start reading what the Word says. Jesus doesn't call us just to live on spiritual snacks. And that's what I was guilty of. I would come in and just hear, what the pastor said, and it was just a spiritual snack, right? And I would hear it and most likely have already forgotten about what the pastor even preached about 2 hours after the message was preached. Maybe just tidbits of what he said. So I want this morning for us to think about this. A disciple who neglects the word will become what? Weak in faith, unstable in doctrine, vulnerable in temptation, and shallow in our devotions. But that's not what God wants. A disciple who studies the word will be strengthened and anchored and sharpened and nourished in Christ. And that's where we'll be if we're studiers of the word. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3:14 and 17. It says this: "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Man, there's so much to unpack in that. So much. So let's look at the context of the passage. As Paul is writing his final letter, and this is Paul's been around for a long time, and he's nearing the end of his life, and he's writing to Timothy. He considered him his son in the faith. And Timothy is ministering in really a difficult environment. And there were lots of false teachers. And the culture around him was ungodly. And the pressures were rising. And confusion and chaos was spreading. And a lot of persecution going on. And what does Paul do here? He doesn't tell Timothy to trust his friends. He doesn't tell Timothy to follow the mood of the culture. He doesn't tell Timothy to build ministry or charisma. He doesn't say, make a new program. He doesn't say, make your entertainment better, right? He points him back to the Holy Scriptures. Why? Because when the church is under pressure, the answer is not less of the Bible. It's more. It's not less of Jesus, it's more of Jesus. And if you want to know more about Jesus, you read the Word. Why? Because in John it says, He is the Word. Right? When error multiplies in our culture, the answer is not more opinions. We need revelation. We need revival, right? When disciples are wavering, the answer is not spiritual theater either. It's the truth breathed out in the Word of God. That all Scripture is inspired by God, or is God breathed there. It translates simply that from the Greek, God breathed. That Greek word behind inspired by God is God breathed, and Scripture is not merely the best thoughts of religious people. It's not merely just uplifting literature either. It's not merely ancient wisdom. It's the very breath of God committed to written word. You hear me? It's the very breath of God. That means when Scripture speaks truly, God speaks. Amen? Have you ever read and just something just really speaks to you? That's God speaking. And because it's God's breath, it's profitable. For what? It teaches us. Teaches us what? How to live? How to act? It also rebukes us and corrects us. We don't like that, but it does. It trains us. And it also equips us. It equips us to handle all kinds of situations in our life. And the Word, it does not merely inform the mind, it forms the mind in life, right? There's a lot of great truths in the Scripture. And for us as believers, we need to study the Bible because Scripture leads us to Christ. It shapes and corrects the whole, our whole entire life, and it equips us to live for God's glory. If you want to know how to live, read the Bible. Don't just hear it from me, right? Open up your Bible and read it. If you want to know what God wants in your life, read it. Study the Scriptures. We study the Bible because Scripture leads us to Christ. Paul writes to 2 Timothy, or not to 2 Timothy, but he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15. He said, "You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus." I look at that carefully because the Scriptures are not an end in themselves. They are given to lead us to salvation in Christ Jesus. Amen? Speak the Word of God to people. You want somebody to get saved and come to know Christ, speak the Word of God to them. You don't speak your own opinions, your own thoughts. You speak the Word of God. The Bible is not merely a book of morals. It's not merely about religion either. It's not merely about principles for life improvement, because not that we all don't need a little improvement in our life. It's the Bible is Christ-centered revelation, right? It leads us to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the Savior of sinners, the fulfillment of every promise and sacrifice that He made. And it has started in Genesis to Revelation. The Bible points us to Jesus Christ. Hear me. In Genesis, He is the promised seed. In Exodus, He is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, He is the true sacrifice. In Numbers, He is the lifted up one. In Deuteronomy, He is the greater prophet. In the Gospels, He is the crucified and risen Lord. And in Acts, He is the ascended King. In the epistles, He is the head of the church. And in Revelation, He is the conquering Lamb upon the throne who will return to this earth some sweet day and rebuild. Amen? Amen. We study the Bible not merely to know facts about Jesus. We study the Bible to create a relationship with Jesus. A saving relationship. A life-changing relationship. In Luke chapter 24, verse 27, it says this: "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning Himself." Think about that. That's a moment that happened on the road to Emmaus. The risen Jesus meets some discouraged disciples. You guys know any discouraged disciples? I've met a few. They're confused and they're downcast and they're having a problem understanding what just happened. And what does Jesus do? He opens the Scripture and shows them Himself. Amen?
Amen.
The whole Bible finds fulfillment in Jesus Christ and the Word explaining there. It's about unfolding. It's about opening up and interpreting it. Jesus teaches us how to read the Bible rightly and not just disconnected stories, but as one redemptive story centered on Him and Him alone. Everything we do in the church, everything we do is about Jesus, right? It always comes back to Jesus. Every story in the Scripture, every book of the Bible that we study, it's all about Jesus. He spoke those words because He wanted them to understand. You want to understand? Read the Bible. Open up your hearts and minds and study the Scripture. You know, our Bible study, it doesn't lead us to worship Jesus more deeply. We've not yet studied well enough most of the time. John 5:39, it says this: "You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about Me." Jesus spoke these words to religious people who knew the text but missed the Lord out of the text. They missed Jesus completely. And it's possible to be biblically literate and spiritually lost. Do you know that? And it's possible to know verses and not know the Savior. It's possible to handle the Bible academically without bowing to Christ personally. We have to have an encounter with Jesus. We have to open up our hearts and let Jesus in completely. We have to let Him into our hearts and let Him into our minds and let Him teach us through His Word. A study should bring us to repentance and faith and worship and obedience. And the Bible must never become some type of dry intellectualism. That I think about that word, you know, the word Torah in the Old Testament just simply means the law. But it really carries this deeper definition of instruction, direction, and teaching. God's Word's not a burden placed on us that's a heavy yoke. Jesus says, "You take My yoke. My yoke is light." It's not like the law that you're burdened down with all these things that's impossible to carry. My yoke is light. Why? Because Jesus carries it for you. Amen? He gives us strength. God's Word is not a burden. It's given to us to guide us and direct us through the truth to a covenant of faithfulness, a life of holiness. Amen? I've heard it said that the Bible is the Word of God because it reveals the God of the Word. Isn't that good? Because we don't approach the Bible as just a religious duty. I think many times we even come to church because we just feel like that's just something we have to do, right? But it's more than that. I come to church this morning because I love Jesus, right? Not because I just have to, right? Guess what? If I wasn't your pastor, you know where I'd be on Sunday morning? At church. Maybe I'd like to be fishing. But I'd go to church, not because I don't love fishing. Because I love Jesus more than I love fishing. Amen? You know, we come to read the Scripture because that's where the Spirit shows us the glory of God. It teaches us who Jesus Christ truly is, what His purpose is, what our purpose is. We got to come to study the Bible. Here's some ways that we come to study. Open up the Bible and say, Lord, show me Christ. Lord, reveal your glory to me. Lord, lead me not merely to information, but transformation in my life. Because you know what? We all need a little change, don't we? Because becoming a true disciple doesn't come easy unless we study what it really means to be a true disciple. Sometimes we're always asking about what it says and how we should interpret this, or sometimes we don't really think about the holiness and mercy and majesty of Christ that's revealed in the Scripture. You know, how many times have you ever opened up the Bible and found exactly what you needed to hear that day? Amen? What's the chances of that? Simply, I mean, you think about the statistics of that. I can't tell you how many times I've opened up the Scripture and it's like, man, I really needed to hear that today. It's there. As true disciples, we study the Bible because Scripture shapes and corrects our whole life. And Paul continues, he says, all Scripture is God-breathed or inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our own lives. Conviction comes when we study, and I think sometimes that's the reason people don't want to read the Bible. Because sometimes it brings conviction into their life and it's like, well, I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to get rid of that. I'll skip that page. There's plenty others. Sometimes we skim them, the Scripture, trying to find that thing that we like to hear, right? Makes us feel good, but we like to hear that, so we skip over the things that we don't like. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us what to do right. The Bible teaches us what is true, and the Bible exposes what is false. And the Bible reveals what is crooked, and the Bible corrects what is out of line. And the Bible trains us in righteous living as well. You know, the Word of God doesn't merely sit on a shelf, does it? Do we put Jesus on the shelf only to take Him and use Him when we need Him? I think like the genie in the bottle all the time. I got my genie lamp sitting on the shelf. Now, if I need my genie lamp, it's there. Sometimes I'll take and dust it off. But when I need something from Him, I get it and I rub on it. Oh, I need it. Polish it up. And it's always about what I need, what I need, what I need. The Word of God gets into your soul when you study it. It confronts us and it comforts us. It cuts us sometimes like a double-edged sword, and it heals us. But it also reforms us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. Powerful, isn't it? We sit constantly sometimes debating on making a decision on things and listening to that voice that may be telling us to do one thing and this other voice is saying, nah, it's all right, do it the way you want to. The Word is alive because God's alive. Amen? Amen. The Word is powerful because it carries divine authority. The Word cuts because God will not leave us or deceive us. You want to get people stirred up? You want to get a group of people stirred up? You start talking about Jesus. You can talk about Muhammad all you want. You can talk about Islam. You can talk about Buddhism. You can talk about all these different things. You can talk, but you can't talk about Jesus without stirring things up. I'm telling you the truth. You start talking about Jesus and you'll find people that'll say, I don't want to hear about that. They'll get aggravated. Why is that? Because Jesus is alive. His Word is alive. It addresses motives. It exposes. It's discerning. It doesn't just lay bare. Scripture gets beneath the appearances. It got under the skin of the righteous people, you know, the religious leaders in Jesus' day. That's why some people avoid, I think, serious Bible study. Because the Word is open, it opens us up. And that causes a surgical procedure to start to happen. That's what God does. He performs surgery on us. A loving operation from the great physician. He starts cutting out all the bad stuff. All the cancerous sin in our life. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it hurts. But God shows us what's wrong because He intends to heal us by grace. Psalms 119, 9 and 11 says this, how can a young man keep his way pure? By obeying your word. Hear me? I seek you with all my heart. Don't let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Man. Powerful words, isn't it? The NLT translation says, how can a young person stay pure? Well, by obeying the word. He said, I've really tried hard to find you. You ever tried hard to find God? David's speaking here. He says, I've really tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. Haven't I hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you? Man, that's a powerful scripture there. But that celebrates the beauty and power of necessity of God's Word. Amen? David, he doesn't speak of Scripture as a decoration. He speaks of it as a treasure hidden in his heart. I can't make it without your Word in my heart. I can't make it without you. That word hidden in definition is storing up, laying something aside. You know, that's more than just memorization. It's an inward possession. Maybe we should be possessed by Jesus. Amen. You know, the word hidden in the heart strengthens resistance to sin. Why? Because temptation is fought not only by willpower, but by truth. The Son of God, what did Jesus do when He went into the wilderness? When He was tempted by Satan, how did He win those battles of temptation? With the Word of God. With the written Word. And how much more should we? He answered repeatedly when Satan would tempt Him. The Scripture says. The Word says. The believer who only skims through the Bible, sometimes we may appear fine, but what happens when grief comes? What happens when temptation comes? What happens when confusion comes? What happens when false teaching comes, when suffering comes? If I said something unscriptural, would you know it? If I said something out of context, would you know it? I've heard people quote things that they thought were from the Bible but weren't really from the Bible. And people were, yep. Didn't the Bible say this? No, it didn't. How would you know that? Well, my pastor said, no. It's not about what I say. We take that back. Maybe sometimes. Right? I hope to say stuff factual, accurately. But we can't always rely on what somebody else said, other than what Jesus said, other than what the Word of God says, and we can count on what the Word of God says. Because it's truth. The truth of our knowledge of the Word is exposed most of the time. It's exposed in weak faith and hopelessness and in defeated attitudes. Because the Word of God tells us we have hope. Amen. For believers who study the Word and knows the Word, our knowledge is revealed as well. Because when you know Jesus and you know the Word of God, you know that you can stand with great faith. Because we have a great God. We know that we have hope because He is the God of hope. Amen?
Amen.
And we know we have victory. Amen? We live in victory. We sing that old song, Victory in Jesus. Why do we sing that? Because we find victory in Jesus. Amen? We don't have to live a defeated life. I heard it said one time, the only way to discern God's voice from all the other voices is to acquaint yourself deeply with God's Word. That's simple as that. That's the truth right there. That's exactly right. In all this world that we live in, of distortion. That's just the way I see it. I got a pedal up here that's this distortion pedal. It distorts the sound waves. I think sometimes we live in that world of distortion. Our minds are just so cluttered and so full of everything else going on in the world that Many of you right here this morning are thinking about other things because you have so much going on in your life that you're distorted in your thinking right now because of all that other stuff going on in your life. We have this world of emotional manipulation. And we need discernment so much right now. There's lots of false teachers out there right now. There's lots of things going on in this world right now. And let me tell you, you need to be studied up and prayed up every day. Or you'll be deceived and you'll be even more distorted in your walk with Christ because this world wants to distract you from knowing Jesus. You want to know why I'm so passionate about this? This is why. Because I see so many weak faith and distracted people in this world that they can be deceived just like that and they'll think, oh, that sounds okay. The next thing you know, they've swallowed the poison pill of this culture and they've, because they don't know the Word of God. Amen. Go ahead, Brother Keeley. Yep. All right. We can have this debate for a Wednesday night. How's that? Yeah, that's the truth. You know, we live in this world that people are calling evil good and good evil, and because that's why I say this. We as disciples need to be steady and cleansing and correcting. We need to know God's voice and we need to be able to hear God's voice. And we have to let the Bible correct us. You know, I'm not here to correct you. Amen? Amen. Hear me? Please understand that. I'm not here as your judge and condemner. Okay? I'm here to speak what the Word of God says. But sometimes you'll leave here thinking that you've just been stepped all over. And don't blame me. Okay? Sometimes when you read the Word, you're going to feel like you've been run over by a Mack truck. And sometimes you're going to feel like you're standing on the mountaintop praising Jesus. Because you know you've done right. And you've been obedient. We have to submit to His commands, and I know that we don't like that because I preached about that, I believe, last week where he says, go into all the world. Remember the disciples? We go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey what I've commanded you. That wasn't a suggestion. Sometimes we go through the Scripture again, underlining things that soothe our spirit. Sometimes we need to ask, Lord, what's in me that needs to go? Lord, if you find any wicked thing in me, please remove it. Precisely and surgically. Sometimes we need to ask, where am I drifting away from you? Lord, what's my attitude? What's my habits? What's my assumptions? Maybe I have some sins that I need to have corrected. And we don't stand over the Bible as a judge. We kneel as a servant to the great high priest. We study the Bible because Scripture equips us to live for God's glory. I'm hurrying. Paul finishes this section. He said, God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. And so our goal in our studies in the Scripture is not just accumulation, but it's to be equipped, to be ready. God's Word prepares His people. God's Word equips His people. God's Word makes disciples ready for obedience and service and endurance, to be good witnesses and to live holy lives. Amen?
Amen.
I'm repeating some of this stuff because sometimes I have to hear it 3 or 4 times in order to get it. Because if we study the Scripture faithfully, it's not about being just prepared for the next Bible quiz. It's being prepared for life. It's being prepared for ministry. It's being prepared, let me tell you, it's being prepared for suffering. It's being prepared to be good witnesses. It's being prepared to be a good parent. It's being prepared for marriage. It's being prepared for temptation. It's being prepared for every decision that we make. And it's also being prepared for spiritual warfare when we are attacked. Joshua 1:8 says, study this book. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will prosper and be successful. Man. Joshua stands at the edge of this big responsibility because Moses now is gone. And the people's got to, they're going to enter the promised land. And the battles that lie ahead, he's thinking about in his leadership. He's burdened by his leadership now. And what does God give Joshua? Not a clever strategy. Not a motivational slogan speech. He gives him the book. He gives him the book. He gives it to him to meditate on it day and night. Reflecting. Pondering. Turning it over in his mind. Meditation is not just emptying the mind. It's filling the mind. Amen? In James 1:22, it says this, but don't merely listen to the word so to deceive yourselves. Think about what it says right there. Don't merely just listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror. And afterward, looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Isn't that great? Isn't that great stuff? See, the Bible's not meant to just produce admirers of the truth who never obey it. We have to do what it says. The one who studies the Word but never acts deceives himself. But the one who looks carefully and continues in it and obeys it finds freedom and blessings. You find faith, strong faith. And no matter what happens in your life, you have faith and you have hope and not defeat in struggles. The Word says freedom. Scripture says freedom is becoming what God created you and redeemed you to be. And that's real freedom found not in rebellion against God's Word, but in joyful obedience to it. Colossians 3:16 says, let the message about Christ, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and gratitude in your hearts to God. Did you come here this morning for that? Is that why you came today? It's not meant to be occasional. It's not meant to be rushed. It is a saturation of the soul and mind and spirit. It is to live in abundance and is to be fully rich. And it's always about the message of Christ. A healthy church is a Bible-filled church, and a strong family is a Bible-shaped family, and a resilient disciple is a Word-saturated disciple. And I think about a sponge that's dried out hard, and when you drop it into a bucket of water, what happens? If you leave it in there, it becomes filled with what surrounds it. And when pressure is applied, what comes out is what went in. Amen. This world will sometimes, you get filled up with Jesus and you go out into this world, let me tell you something, it'll squeeze you hard. And there's either two things going to come out of it. Really, there's only one thing that's going to come out of it, and it's what you put in it. When life squeezes you, what comes out? Is it panic? Is it anger? Is it unbelief? Is it cynicism? Criticism? Is it deceit? Or is it faith and truth and steadfast and hope and love? And wisdom and praise. When Paul and Silas was in the bottom of the prison, beat up, chained up, what did they do? It wasn't an episode of Hee-haw, right? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. It wasn't that. It was praising Jesus. Amen? Because what went in is what comes out. Amen? I'm really closing here, I promise. The Bible, the Word of God, it's carried into our thoughts and our decisions and our relationships. It's carried into our habits. It's carried into our witness. And worship every day of our lives comes from the study of the Word of God. So I would say read prayerfully this week. Don't rush the text. Ponder on it. Study it. Listen for God to reveal to you what He wants you to know. Open your eyes. Read carefully. Observe the passage. Know who's speaking, to whom they're speaking to, what the context is, what is repeated. Listen for the main point. Read Christ-centeredly. Ask how the passage fits into your life. Read obediently. Read consistently. Take it seriously. Memorize the scripture. Take up the book, open it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for how it helps me in my life every day. Lord, I pray for this great group of people that came here today. I hope they leave better than they came. Most of all, Lord, I hope that they commit to studying and reading your word. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit abounds in their lives and they can live in this distracted, distorted world that we live in today. Lord, that they can live with hope and they can live with victory and they can live with a passion for you and be great witnesses, that when this world stresses them or squeezes them, that you come out. They know, people know that you belong to Jesus because Jesus comes out of you. So Lord, help us today as we leave here. And I praise you and thank you. And all the people said, Amen. Amen.